think about something for a minute. What if I were able to tell you this morning that tonight your house was going to be robbed? What if you had that knowledge that tonight your house was going to be robbed, going to be broken into? What would you do? Well, no doubt you would be prepared, wouldn't you? Whatever it is that you did, you would be prepared to take action. If you knew what hour it would be broken into, would you go to sleep? Well, probably not. You would be, of course, prepared. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Watching, being prepared. I want you to keep in mind how diligently, how carefully, how seriously you would keep watch if you knew that tonight your house was going to be broken into. And I want you to relate that to our spiritual lives, to spiritual watching. Jesus many times stressed the importance of watching. In Matthew, he says, "Watch out for false prophets." Again, he says, "Watch out that no one deceives you." In Mark, he says, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees." Again, he says, "Watch out for the teachers of the law." Again, "Watch out that you are not deceived." Do you think he's trying to tell us something here? Do you think maybe he's trying to get us to understand how important it is that we watch carefully? Jesus used the very same analogy that we just considered in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. He said, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief, at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because of this, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." Keep watch, he says. And just before this, he tells us about the people in Noah's time. They were eating and drinking and not a care in the world, but their life was required of them at a time when they did not expect it. Our brother Jim talked about that recently. In Matthew chapter 25, we read about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish were shut out. He says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." And there are many examples that we could read concerning this. But not only are we admonished in the Scriptures to keep watch, admonished many times, to keep watch for the end, we see maybe an even greater number of admonishments telling us to watch our lives. Watch for Satan. Watch for temptation. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 tells us, says, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." That's very interesting. It's a very powerful scripture. Watch your life and your doctrine, or that which you govern your life by. Watch it closely, and you will not only save yourself, but others around you. So watching is definitely something that requires perseverance and dedication. If it were not so, there would not be more than 100 references to being a watchful person in the Scriptures. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 says to us, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." That scripture just about covers everything that I want to talk about this morning. First of all is to be a devotion. Something that does not come natural. It is something that takes discipline, perseverance. We are to set ourselves apart for this purpose, for prayer and for watchfulness and for thankfulness. So prayer, first of all, prayer is to a Christian as a cord is to a power tool. It makes a connection by which power can flow. Many times we pray to God for strength, we pray to God for help, and then we unplug. No further thought or devotion goes into it. How do we expect God to help us and to provide for us and to give us what we need when we disconnect ourselves from Him? Constant prayer is a means by which we can stay connected to Him, stay in tune with Him. It's hard to do ungodly things when we fill our lives and our minds with godly things. If we are praying, we are prepared. If we are praying, we are near to God. And near to what He can do to help us carry out His will. By the way, how many of us listen when we pray? Do we ask God questions in our prayer or pray for guidance and instruction? I'm sure you do. I do. Do we ever listen for an answer? when you think about it, it'd be kind of silly to pray to God and ask Him for guidance and then go about things your own way. Through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, we receive instruction. I can't even count the number of times that I have been directed towards a Scripture containing the answer or the encouragement or the instruction that I needed and that I prayed for. One of the most important components of effective prayer is listening. It's a conversation, can be. But we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that he talks about in this scripture in Colossians is being watchful. It's watchfulness. Alert, awake, on guard, being ready. You know, if you were to go hunt African lion, do you think that you would be watchful every step that you took? You know, the scripture describes Satan as a lion that's looking to devour you. I know if you were in the territory of something that was hunting you, you would watch like your life depended on it, and it would. We have to be that way in our spiritual lives. So why is it, if that is the case physically, that we just kind of walk around in Satan's domain, not really paying attention to what is around us, what is approaching us? And then we wonder why we are so unsuccessful against Satan's attacks. To be successful against Satan's temptations is to avoid Satan. We are given tools to use when we confront Satan, but our greatest successes come when we avoid him altogether. 1 Corinthians 6 says, flee from sexual immorality. 1 Corinthians 10 says, flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, flee from evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, flee the evil desires of youth. How can we flee Satan if we don't see him? If Satan is stalking us with some kind of temptation, if some snare, and we don't see him until we're hit with that temptation, isn't that too late? If we are watchful, we would see him coming. We could prepare ourselves to flee from that temptation. We cannot flee something that we do not see. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? I think the movie The Passion portrays this much as it would have been. Very powerful scene. It shows Jesus praying in complete agony. And Satan right there beside of him. Isn't that what the scripture says? That he was sorrowful to the point of death? That his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground? I imagine Satan is a lion stalking Jesus in his weakest time. I can picture him right there prowling around, waiting for Jesus to lower his guard for 1 second. Jesus asked his disciples to stay and keep watch with him, but when he returned to him, they had fallen asleep. Matthew 26 and 40. Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Falling into temptation is like falling into a pit. If you're not looking where you're going, you will fall right into it. So he tells them, watch and pray. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That is one of the reasons that we have to be so diligent in watchfulness and prayer. The spirit is willing. In other words, we want to do what's right. In our hearts, we feel we want to do what's right. We feel dedicated to that. We feel that we can be successful. Yet our body is weak. Our body is more subject to temptation and fear and discouragement. So it is that we are to be watchful and prayerful. Thankfulness, he also mentions. Being thankful is also mentioned as something that we are to be devoted to. Again, something we have to be devoted to, meaning something that doesn't come natural, something that takes some discipline. Thankfulness has an interesting way of providing godliness with contentment. You know, it's hard to complain when you're thankful for something. It's hard to grumble or to take things for granted when you're thankful for them. When you're thankful, you have more of a desire to please God and to serve God because you realize what He has done for you. Many years ago, there was a woman by the name of Charlotte Elliott. She was a very beautiful, very talented, very active woman who became a Christian late in her life. She began experiencing poor health in her 30s, and only a short time later, she completely lost all of her ability to control her body physically. She became an invalid. This would be as difficult for her as it would have been for anyone. She was a very active, very useful person. And on one occasion she said, "My Heavenly Father knows, and He alone, what it is day after day and hour after hour to fight against bodily feelings of almost overpowering weakness and languor and exhaustion. To resolve, as He enables me to do, not to yield to the slothfulness, the depression, the irritability, such as a body causes me to long to indulge, but to rise every morning determined on taking this for my motto, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." It was through her disability that she was led to write many beautiful songs that we sing to this day, one of which I would like to read to you this morning, titled "Watch and Pray." Says, "Christian, do not seek repose, cast thy dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes, watch and pray. Wicked forces, evil powers, gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguarded hours, watch and pray. Put your heavenly armor on, wear it always, night and day. To defeat the evil one, watch and pray. Here above all, hear your Lord. Love Him, serve Him, and obey. Treasure in your heart His word. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that victory may be won. Watch and pray." Jesus said to watch and pray. Our Savior Jesus was no doubt most familiar with the need to watch and pray constantly. And He taught us the need to do the same. That is my admonishment to you this morning, that you will diligently watch your life and that you will pray. I want to leave you with a scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. He says, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's live by that. Pray continually. Not just maybe once in the morning and then when you eat. Have that in your mind. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Think about that. All circumstances, including the ones that are difficult for you, including when we are going through discipline. Be joyful always. We are to be a joyful people. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you would like the prayers of the church this morning, please come forward and we will pray for you if we can, or help you in whatever way we can.